Amen. What a great night to be in the house of the Lord. And as Pastor Deanna mentioned, it's our last evening service for a few weeks as we enter into Christmas holidays and different events that are taking place. And so we are going to enjoy the presence of the Lord tonight. And our title is Holy Spirit Breathe. And I wonder if you would just pray with me now. And I encourage you, if you have not yet invited the Holy Spirit to breathe into your life yet tonight, there is still time. So why don't we just do this quickly before we get into the Word. Holy Spirit, we welcome you in this place tonight. And Jesus, we are so thankful that you have given us abundantly of your Holy Spirit. And you tell us in your Word that you give us your Holy Spirit without limits. And tonight we are asking for that you would come and breathe over every mind, every heart, that you would fall afresh upon us tonight, that you would give us ears to hear what you would want to say, God, and hearts that are on fire for you and ready to respond to the call that you have on our lives. And all of God's children said, amen and amen. Well, the person and the work of the Holy Spirit is seen all throughout the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. In the very beginning, it says that the Spirit of God was over the waters of creation. And all throughout the Old Testament, we see how the Holy Spirit led people. He stirred people in certain situations as they were led of the Lord. Once he was poured out on the day of Pentecost, of course, he is known as the person who empowers and brings conviction upon people so as to draw them closer to Jesus Christ. In John chapter 14 to 16, the Holy Spirit is described as being our advocate, as being our guide, our helper, our teacher, as being the one who reveals the heart of Jesus to us, as being the one who ministers the presence of Jesus to us. In John chapter 14, it says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of truth, you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. The advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." John 15, 26, "When the advocate comes, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me." In John 16, 13, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth." As a church, we need to have a greater understanding and an appreciation of who the Holy Spirit is in our lives. God is our Creator. Jesus is our Savior. And the Holy Spirit is the one who stirs us and who empowers us to do the work of Jesus in our lives. The work of the Holy Spirit is to remind us of the work of the cross, and it is to stir us and to enable us to walk and to live in the power of the cross. There is a greater fullness and abundant living that comes to us when we understand the importance of being filled with the Spirit constantly. It is not just a one-time event for us in our life, but Ephesians 5 says, "Be filled with the Spirit." And the Lord calls to us and he urges to us to have a greater understanding of constantly being filled with the Spirit. We are familiar with the story from Ezekiel 37, and we were reminded of it again this morning, where the Lord, by his Spirit, it says, he set the prophet Ezekiel in the middle of a valley that was full of dry bones. And in this passage, the Lord was wanting to show Ezekiel the purpose and the power of his Spirit, which is to raise his people to life and to breathe power into them. The Lord was teaching Ezekiel about this, and the emphasis in this passage is that he is able to breathe into any soul, no matter how dry or how spiritually dead they may seem. In Ezekiel 37, verses 9 to 10, "Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, breath, from the four winds and breathe into these slain, that they may live.' So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them, and they came to life, and they stood up on their feet, a vast and exceedingly great army." There is an urgent need and a command upon our lives to invoke, to invite, to ask for the Holy Spirit to breathe upon us, that we might be full of his life and full of his power. Job 33, verse 4, it says, "The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life." Ephesians 5, 18, be filled with the Spirit. And the truth in our lives is this tonight, that our victory and our breakthrough, it is dependent on being filled with the Spirit. The amount of peace that we walk in, and the amount of joy, and the amount of life that we walk in, it is dependent on being filled with the Holy Spirit. No matter what is happening in our lives, we have access to the Holy Spirit in our lives, but we must know him, and we must welcome him, we must desire him, and we must make room for him to move in and through our lives. In your busyness, invite him. Ask him to speak to you, to lead you, to be upon every step that you take in your life. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus told his disciples to wait for the gift of his Holy Spirit to fall upon them. And after he rose from the grave, it says that he appeared to his disciples over a period of about 40 days, teaching them about the kingdom of God. And on one occasion, he says to them in Acts 1, verses 4 to 5, that we have all heard many times, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about, for John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." And further on in verse 8, he says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses." Everywhere you go, everywhere you travel, every place you find yourselves in, you will be my witnesses, he says. What are we called to be witnesses of? With the full power of his Holy Spirit upon us, we are to be witnesses of his glory, of his presence, of his character upon our lives. We are to display his very presence and his peace. Have you been baptized with his Holy Spirit tonight? Have you received the power of his Holy Spirit in your life? We are all familiar with the passage in Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, 120 of the believers, they were filled with the power of his Spirit. You know, we could spend several weeks talking about the importance and the power of the Holy Spirit. But tonight I want to encourage us in the area of how we are admonished, how there is an urgency upon our lives to constantly be filled with his Spirit. It is not just a one-time event. And the words to Ezekiel, they apply to our lives as well. Prophesy to the breath. The Lord calls us to say, "Come, breath, from the four winds and breathe into us, that we may come to life and be a vast army in the name of Jesus." Are you filled with the breath of his Spirit tonight? Where are you on the road with Christ tonight? Are you at Calvary, where his blood was poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins? You know, a lot of believers, they have come to Calvary, and they have received the forgiveness of their sins from the blood of Jesus and the work that he did. But many believers, they remain at Calvary, and there are too many believers who have not traveled to Pentecost for the power of the Spirit in their lives. And you may be here tonight, and you might be on the road to Pentecost, but you have never quite made it where you have actually received the full infilling and the full power of his Holy Spirit. You might be here tonight, and you may have found yourself traveling back and forth between these two places, going to Calvary and going to Pentecost. And the Lord would want to encourage us tonight to remain faithful in our spiritual fervor, to never lose the zeal of the Lord, and to constantly be going to Pentecost to receive that fresh infilling of the power of his Holy Spirit. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit breathed upon them with tongues of fire. It was a fire that burned away the dross in their lives. It was a fire that ignited a holy zeal and a passion for the work of the cross and for the power of the cross. There are two things that I want to look at really quickly tonight on why the Holy Spirit is sent to breathe his fire upon us. And number one is to awaken us to the work and power of the cross. We are told of the power of the cross at the end of the crucifixion and Christ's suffering. When Jesus breathed his last breath on the cross, it says in Matthew 27, verses 50 to 51, "And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. And at that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom." You know, before Jesus died for us, we did not have access to this personal relationship with God without a sacrifice being made. There wasn't a way for us to approach him without a sacrifice being made. And Jesus paid the price for us. He paid this ultimate sacrifice that we might have this intimate and close relationship with God the Father. The work of the cross, it is the torn veil. And when he died, the veil that separated us from God, it was torn in two. Because he loves us so much that he wants to be close to us. And he wants to heal us. And he wants to change us into his image. Hebrews 10, 19 to 23. "Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, his body, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with full assurance, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water." The work of the Holy Spirit is to awaken us and is to remind us to the work and the power of the cross in our lives. He wants to awaken us to our sin and to our need of a Savior and to his intense passion for us. The Holy Spirit wants to awaken us to the work of the cross so that our pride dies, so that our fleshly desires do not rule our lives anymore. Romans 8, 5 to 6, "Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace." We need to come to the cross and be emptied of our flesh so that we can be filled with his Spirit and his life. You see, we cannot be filled with his Spirit until we are emptied. When we are awakened to the work of the cross, it ought to stir a passionate zeal towards his heart and his ways. And our response should be to empty ourselves, to empty our hearts and our minds and our lives of any unrighteousness, of any brokenness, of any pride, of anything that would keep us separated from being so close to our Lord. The power of the cross is freedom from the past and from the bondage of sin, isn't it? The power of the cross gives us direct access to God the Father through the work of Jesus. Hebrews 4 tells us that we can approach the throne of grace with confidence and with boldness. And we are admonished to draw near to God, and he will draw near to us. The Holy Spirit is sent to us to breathe upon us, that we would not live our lives for ourselves, but that we would live our lives for the Lord God Almighty, who has given us our very breath, that we would live in the freedom and the power of his Spirit. In John 6, 63, "The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit and life." And 2 Corinthians 3, 17, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." The Holy Spirit is sent to guide us and to teach us in these truths, to awaken us to the zeal and the power of Jesus in our lives. And I love this quote that the revivalist Dwight L. Moody said. He said, "You might as well try to hear without ears or breathe without lungs as to try to live a Christian life without the Spirit of God in your hearts." And this is the truth for us tonight, church. May we be reminded of the work and the power of the cross in our lives and ask, invite the breath of the Spirit to breathe upon you, in you, so that he can move through you. And number two tonight, the Holy Spirit is sent to breathe his fire upon us, to anoint us to do the work of Jesus. In Acts chapter 19, says that when Paul went to Ephesus, he said to some of the believers, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you first believed?" And these believers, they looked at him and they said, "No, we have never heard of the Holy Spirit." And you know, you might be in this room tonight and you may never really have fully heard or understood the importance of the power of the Holy Spirit for your life. Perhaps you have become a little stagnant. Perhaps you have lost some of his power as life has been difficult or other distractions have taken the place of the importance of the Holy Spirit in your life. We need to be reminded and awakened to the Holy Spirit to receive the anointing to do the work of Jesus. We cannot be effective without the Spirit of the Lord in our lives. We cannot influence our children. We cannot build God's church. We cannot pray for people effectively and actually see breakthrough and healing and chains broken without the Spirit of God breathing through us. We cannot walk into our workplaces and give a demonstration of the character of Jesus Christ without the breath of the Holy Spirit upon our lives. There is a greater effectiveness, and there is a greater anointing that we are all called to live in. And he says, "Would you welcome my Holy Spirit? Would you ask for the breath of the Almighty to breathe into you afresh, daily, constantly being filled by his Spirit so that he can move through you?" 1 John 2:20, "But you have an anointing from the Holy One." Why don't you say that tonight? I am anointed. You can do better than that. I am anointed. There are people, there are places that the Holy Spirit is waiting to guide us into, that his anointing would move through us and upon us. You may not even be aware of what his anointing looks like in your life, but you might be here tonight and you probably have your own story of how there was a time where the Holy Spirit led you to give to someone. How the Holy Spirit led you to pray for someone. The Holy Spirit led you to speak words of life, to minister into someone's life. And you know what it has been like for the Holy Spirit to lead you. Galatians 5, 22 to 23. "But the fruit of the Spirit," what the Spirit wants to produce in our lives, what his anointing looks like in our lives, is this: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. The fruit of the Spirit is his anointing. It is what he produces in our lives. It is the means by which he uses us. And when we are constantly filled with his Spirit, when we invoke the breath of the Spirit upon our lives, when we are led by acts of love, when we show kindness, when we are being patient as the Lord is guiding us and as we are patiently waiting on his timing in our lives, when we are exercising self-control in our life, when we speak words of correction with gentleness in our lives, when we are led by peace in our lives, even in the midst of storms, in the darkness, and no matter what else is happening, when we are led by these things, and when we are asking constantly for the breath of the Holy Spirit to breathe upon these aspects, he will move through you to minister his life into people's lives. He will move upon your love. He will move upon your giving. He will move upon your peace and your patience and your kindness and your goodness and your gentleness and your faithfulness and your self-control. There will be an anointing that comes upon us when we ask for the Holy Spirit to come upon the fruits in our lives. You will minister his very life to people around you. You will affect other people's lives through this. You will be anointed. You know, the Holy Spirit is ready to breathe his power into us if we would ask of him. And the Holy Spirit anoints us with the power of Jesus, that our lives would be as an echo of the heart of the Father. The Holy Spirit breathes upon us that our words and our choices, they would echo the heart of Jesus for our lives. He breathes upon us that our ministry would echo the will of the Father for his kingdom upon our homes, upon our workplaces, and upon his church in the name of Jesus. Jesus tells us in John 3 that God gives his Spirit without limits. I don't know about you, but I want his Holy Spirit without limits, that it would run over and fill us to overflowing, that we would empty ourselves and be so full of the breath of the Spirit of God. There is nothing like this experience. There is nothing like walking and living in the perfect will and the power and the anointing of Jesus for our lives. My, how his church would advance. My, how our homes and our workplaces would be different if we would get a little hungry, if we would get a little desperate, if we would actually empty ourselves and say, Holy Spirit, we welcome you and we invite you to move through us and in us powerfully. All throughout the book of Acts, it says that the disciples, they spoke with the power of the Holy Spirit, that they were led of the Holy Spirit. And the church grew at an aggressive rate, didn't it? As they were led of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 4, there is a record of God's people gathering together to pray. And in this prayer, they are praying specifically that the Lord would move in power in their city, in the hearts of leaders and people, that they would receive the message of the gospel. And it says in verse 31, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God boldly. Listen, there are moments when the Holy Spirit, he will call us to pray. The Holy Spirit will call us to go places. The Holy Spirit will call us to speak. He will call us to be bold. And may we be the sons and daughters of the Almighty God who have ears to hear when the Holy Spirit calls us, who would have hearts that are hungry and that are ready to respond to his voice. Ask for him to breathe upon your heart. Ask for him to breathe upon your prayers and your words. Romans 8:26, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes through us with wordless groans. In Galatians 5:16, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. And in closing tonight, the Lord urges us to stay within his presence and to be filled by him daily. You see, when you remove yourself from the presence of the Lord, what happens is that you become oblivious to the spiritual situation that is happening around you and what God wants to do through you. We've seen it happen. The disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane, they slept through a great spiritual battle. Jonah was sleeping in the boat when the storm raged all around him. And what is powerful about that story is that even the captain, who was not a follower of God, he woke Jonah and he said, pray to your God. When we sleep spiritually, we miss out on what God is doing and how he is calling us to respond and to be used by him to breathe his presence into people's lives around us. When we are awakened to what Jesus did for us on the cross, it should change our priorities and what we are filling our lives with. We can cry out to be filled with his Spirit, but if our hearts are already filled with other things, there is no room for his Spirit to move in us. That is why the infilling of the Spirit, it needs to begin at the cross. When we look upon the cross, we need to empty our lives. We need to empty our minds of the fears that try to attach itself. We need to empty our hearts of any brokenness, of any regrets, of any unforgiveness. We need to empty our hearts of any pride, of any self-seeking. of any criticism, of any complaining. I pray that we would be bold and courageous enough to empty ourselves so that the Lord can lead us to Pentecost to be filled with his power. The cross is a place we should go to be emptied so that we can travel to Pentecost and be filled by him alone. Do you need a fresh infilling tonight to do the work of Jesus that he has called you to? In Acts 9:31, it says, "Then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria, living in the fear of the Lord and encouraged by the Holy Spirit, it increased in numbers." We need to welcome the Holy Spirit to breathe upon us. Would you welcome him? In the busyness of this Christmas season, ask for him to speak to you. Ask for him to stir you. Ask for him to keep you in step with what he wants to do. In this season, as you gather with neighbors, as you gather with family, as you go to those work parties, there are so many opportunities that we can minister the presence and the life of Jesus. Be led of the Holy Spirit. Let his anointing be upon the fruit of the Spirit in your life. May we not live our lives for our own purposes, but may we echo the heart of our Father. Imagine if every person was filled with the Holy Spirit, if every conversation you had was seasoned with the Holy Spirit, if every place that you walked into, before you spoke anything, before you made any choices, before you did anything, you just very quickly said, "Holy Spirit, I welcome you right now. Holy Spirit, what do you want me to say? Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do?" Every moment of our days, imagine if every believer was filled to this measure, and this is the mandate. This is the call. This is not beyond our reach. Jesus is so clear, and he says, welcome the Holy Spirit. God says, prophesy. Call the four winds of the Holy Spirit to breathe into you, and he will come. But imagine if we were filled to that level. Oh, how the church would grow. Oh, how the body of believers would be strengthened. Oh, how they would be victorious. And oh, how salvations would come in the name of Jesus. How your homes would be strengthened. How you would be blessed. How the provision and how there would be an open heaven over our lives if we walked in this way. In this Christmas season, let us be reminded of why he was born, so that he could live a life that glorified his Father. And at the Father's time, it was his will that he would die for our sins, so that he could pay the price that we might have life, freedom, abundance, and anointing. The Holy Spirit whispers to us in situations so that we can echo the heart of Jesus to others. May we partner with Jesus and pray that his Holy Spirit awakens and anoints his people. Amen. Amen. God said that he would pour out his Spirit on all people, and he is ready to fill us afresh. He is ready to cause his Spirit to breathe upon us. And as we end in this place tonight, I wonder if you would just close your eyes with me. And I want to just ask, where do you find yourself on the road tonight? Do you find yourself staying at Calvary? Are you on the road to Pentecost? Have you been back and forth? Financially, there are desperate situations. We know that. There are sicknesses and diseases and discouragement that seeks to attach itself to our lives. There are children who are not walking with the Lord in this room tonight. There are loved ones of ours who continue to live in disunity with their families, who are allowing the tension and the heartache to guide them in their relationships. We cannot live without the breath of the Almighty breathing into us. In Revelation 5, it tells us that the fullness of his Spirit has been sent out into all the earth. And church, we are commanded and we are urged to catch the revelation, to be awakened and to be filled with His Holy Spirit continually. Prophesy to the breath. The Lord says, come, breath from the four winds, and breathe into my people that they may come to life and be a vast army in the name of Jesus. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom and there is power in the name of Jesus. Let's stand tonight. Galatians 5:25, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Would you welcome Him right now where you are? I want you to open your mouth, not just in your heart, but I want you to echo. I want you to speak it out tonight. If you are hungry, if you know that the Lord is speaking to you tonight and you need a fresh infilling of His Holy Spirit, this is our last Sunday evening service. Until January, we're going to take a few moments, and we're going to honor the Lord in this place, and we are going to invoke and ask for the Holy Spirit to lead us in this season. If you need to respond to anything, the altars are open. We would love to pray with you. If you're in this room tonight and you have walked away from the Lord, you have not been following after Him, but you know that He is calling you and He is drawing you, would you please come forward so we can pray with you, so we can encourage you and build you up tonight. But wherever you are, let's raise our hands and let's use our voices and let's invoke and ask for the fresh infilling of the breath of the Spirit to come upon us tonight.